Dublin's Talking Sport.
Welcome to Dublin's Talking Sports podcast with me, Ken Doherty, and my good friend, Reggie Corrigan. Thanks for tuning in to catch up on the latest GAA, football, rugby, and all the crack. Enjoy the show, and don't forget, rate and review wherever you get your podcasts.
We have another great show for you this week on Dublin's Talking Sport. Deirdre Smith reflects on Pádraig Harrington's runner-up finish in the senior majors last weekend, and we talk about Rory McIlroy's performance in the PGA and the chances of Seamus Power and Shane Lowry progressing further in that competition. And in rugby, former Ireland and Leinster rugby player Victor Costello will be joining me to talk about the big clash tonight between Leinster and Munster in the Aviva Stadium, and of course about next week's Heineken Cup final. Declan Drake and Sean Lane are in studio, and of course Alan Cawley of Cawley's Call fame will be with us to review all of the League of Ireland action. So it's another wonderful show. Download it now wherever you get your podcasts.
Very good morning to you, Reg. How are you?
I'm brilliant, yeah. It's another good weekend. Plenty going on. I have to say there's a bit of a juicy one this evening. Munster taking on Leinster in the Aviva, with Munster kind of pressure on them to get a result because they're going to end up top four if they do get a home final. So it's been a, and Leinster putting out a sort of an understrength team because they've got their focus on next week. So that's a good one to look forward to. But plenty of other stuff going on as well. Are you watching the golf?
I was watching a little bit of it. Yeah, disappointing for Rory, wasn't it?
Yeah, just he fell off a little bit. He slipped down to fifth place, I think. But there's still plenty of time in that. You know, he's not that far off it. But yeah, he's going okay. He's going okay, as they say.
Yeah, he had amazing first round, indeed. Like, you know, shooting six under. But yeah, just a little bit disappointed to follow it up. Like, I thought, like, maybe this time he might follow it up and go on and, you know, kick on. But yeah, you're still right. You still got another couple of rounds, and there's plenty of time to catch up. But yeah, he needs something like of that magic that he showed in the first round. You know,
absolutely. So how's everything been with you? Busy week.
Everything is good. I'm down in Limerick. I'm with Stephen Hendry and Dennis Taylor. We played in the Strand Hotel last night. Great crowd. We're doing a little tour around Ireland. We're playing in Tralee on Sunday night, and then in Dublin in Stephen's Green Club on Tuesday.
So
it's just sort of a little celebration of the 25 years and coming over and just having a few games and a little bit of golf. We're going to play at Dare Manor today, which should be nice. Tralee and Dukes Sunday, Monday, and then up to Dublin and probably play the K Club on Tuesday. So looking forward to that as well, you know.
Gives you a tough old life, haven't you?
Going to try and take some of that Scottish money off Stephen Hendry.
If you like a dog with Rory equaling the record, I presume. Is he?
Yeah. His pockets are tighter than the snooker table ones, you know.
Yeah. Did he talk to you about Ronnie doing that and equaling the record and the cost?
I think he sort of resigned himself to the fact that it's going to happen. You know, it was quite funny in the studio. He said, you know, I don't mind sharing it with someone as great as Ronnie, who is, like, you know, the greatest player I think that's ever played. And but he says, don't get number eight. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because he's broken every other record that Stephen Hendry had. You know, the only one he can't break is the one that Stephen Hendry winning was the youngest ever winner of the World Championship. So Ronnie can't do that. Ronnie is the oldest winner since Ray Reardon in 1978. But he's broken every other record, unfortunately. But I think he became sort of resigned to the fact that Ronnie was going to do it. But I think Ronnie will probably go on and win eight now. Like, he has plenty of, he's got a few years left, and he's still got a really good chance to do that, you know?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I'd say he probably will, yeah. But I saw some footage during the week of Hendry. I don't know what, there was something on going back over the years. It was like a reeling in the years of snooker. I mean, you're talking about fellas like Doug Mountjoy were still in the video.
I saw
one piece on it with Hendry, and he was just like a baby in the early days with that kind of spiky hair he had. Remember the spiky
That's
hair?
That's right, yeah.
Such a baby.
I know. But what a great player he was as well. You know, some of the shots he used to play. I think he, you know, for Stephen Hendry, will be remembered as one who revolutionised the game because he broke away from the mould of the likes of Mountjoy, Griffiths, Torborne, even Dennis Taylor era. You know, he was the one that sort of wanted to win the frame in one visit as opposed to the way they used to play. And even Steve Davis, like two visits, maybe three visits, he wanted to win it, like smash the pack open and try and score as quickly as possible and as much as possible. And he sort of, from then on, the likes of O'Sullivan, Williams, Higgins, they all followed suit, you know. And yeah, he revolutionised the game the way he played, like no doubt about it.
Absolutely, yeah, no question. Mm. What about this weekend in the football? I know you'll be glued to it.
No, I'll be glued to it, yeah.
It's hard to see City slipping up, though.
It's been incredible, hasn't it? It really has been an incredible season at the top of the table and even at the bottom of the table as well. But yeah, I can't see City slipping up against Villa, you know. But you just never know, do you? You know what pressure is like. You know, everybody's expecting them to win. And you just never know. But just the way they played this season has just been incredible. And even the way Liverpool have played, you know, they pushed them all away. And a couple of slip-ups for Liverpool towards the end, particularly a couple of draws and that one at home to Tottenham would really sort of irk them, you know. But I thought they played superbly well. But you just never know. I think what they've done is, like, you know, done everything they can, Liverpool, and keep pushing Man City all the way. And it's going to come down to the last game of the season, which is great for the rest of us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just can't see City slipping up against Aston Villa. Although Steven Gerrard, you know, being a Liverpool, you know, a great Liverpool player himself for many, many years, you know, something that he will get his team up for. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they almost slipped last week. It was, you know, it was very dodgy there. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to happen. But
you
never really know. But the, you know, that top four battle as well. Arsenal just in there. Oh, we've got Everton at home, and Spurs. Obviously, they're away to Norwich. They could slip up. I mean, there's a good chance we might sneak just ahead of them there at the last minute and get into
Absolutely, yeah. I think, you know, you never know. I mean, that's a great battle as well, isn't it? You know, and that game, I mean, it just shows you how well Conte has done for Tottenham, you know, since he's been appointed, which is quite incredible. You know, I think he would have been a great manager, I think, for Manchester United, but he's done a brilliant job. And Arteta has done a really good job, I think, as well, with limited resources. You know, it has to be said that they played some really good football, Arsenal, and that's been a wonderful run as well for both of those teams, and that's going to be quite interesting as well. And what about Everton getting out from 2-0 down? And John Parrott was he's in the WhatsApp group. He was like saying, "Oh, I'm in tears here watching them. We've been in the top flight for over 70 years, and we thought we were going down, but we're going to be in the top flight for at least another year." So he was over the mill. But what a great result for them!
It was incredible. I mean, what a comeback! 2-0 down. Looked like it was all over. I was actually down at a Gaelic match in Ballinakil and under 15. It's a GA match with Nathan, and we were on the sideline, myself and another father, and he was keeping an eye on the result, and he was going, "Oh, they're going 2-0 down now." We were chatting on the sideline about Lampard and giving out, "I should never have got the job anyway."
I know,
this and that.
Next
thing you know, they're 3-2.
Yeah. And what about Vieira with the fan as well? The fan, the young fan trying to get, you know, really wind him up, and he grabs him with a scruff of the neck, gives him a good kick up the arse, you know, which he probably deserved in all fairness, you know, and it's a fair play to Vieira.
Yeah.
But, yeah, great comeback from Everton. I'm delighted for them. You know, they're such a big club. They're a great club. And, you know, something, I hope Leeds stay up as well. They've got a tough match as well.
I mean, look, Burnley really and tough. Leeds are battling for that last spot, but Leeds, you know, away to Brentford, that's a tough one, but you wouldn't know. Burnley, they're at home to Newcastle, and but you wouldn't know. Newcastle are kind of pulled their socks up a bit lately since the news and the changeover and everything else, so you wouldn't know. You know, they might get a result.
You might do, and a draw might be enough as well, you know, if Newcastle beat Burnley, but they need you know, to get a better result than Burnley do, that's for sure. But that's been a wonderful battle as well down at the bottom between Burnley, Leeds, and indeed Everton as well, you know. So I think the Premiership overall this year has been amazing. You know, we've had some great matches. We've had a lot, you know, some great sort of leagues at the top and the leagues at the Champions League places, you know, and of course the bottom as well. There's been some great stories, and it's going to be great on Sunday, I must say.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And of course, Rovers still going well here at home. Derry
didn't catch
up on them. You'd be happy with that.
Absolutely. I love the Rovers, you know, and it'd be nice to see them, finish top as well. They're playing some great football, as indeed Derry are as well. So that's going to be a great run in as well. But I'm going to look forward to it, you know, and look forward to the golf the weekend. And of course, Munster Leinster as well, I'm sure. You're going to be enjoying that one as well. It's going to be a great weekend of sport, and of course we're playing it there, manners. So
that's going to be even better. I'm just brushing over that. That's not even happening. I just want to mention more importantly, Amy Broadhurst and Lisa O'Rourke getting the world championships, but making history again in Istanbul.
Yeah.
Two Irish boxers. You know, just 25 and 20 years old, and bananas decisions getting those results, and it's just amazing. And you know, Katie Taylor and Kelly Harrington, they're the two names, the other names that have done this. So, I mean, the future for these two fighters is fantastic and an amazing achievement for the two girls.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm sure, you know, the likes of Katie and Kelly have been a great inspiration to the two girls as well. And, you know, women's boxing has just gone from strength to strength, and particularly in Ireland, it's great to see, you know, and Katie, you know, leading the life for sure, you know, and what a great fight to look forward to if she does sign on the dotted line for Croke Park, you know, for that big one.
Yeah, there's the big
return. The big return. Yeah. I think that's going to happen. I mean, Barry Hearn was in Sheffield at the snooker, and we were talking about that, and he himself and Eddie definitely want that to happen, for no doubt, you know. So the future of women's boxing is in great hands, and congratulations to the two girls. Brilliant stuff, you know.
Excellent stuff. Okay, what's I know you have a Derry Manor and you have a week of golf ahead of you, but after that, snooker wise, is it on a bit of a break now? Or
yeah, we're on a little bit of a break. I mean, we're watching Q School is going on at the moment, you know, for all the guys who have fallen off the tour and the young amateurs as well coming through. And our very own Fergal O'Brien, he's in action today. So he fell off the tour. He fell outside the top 64, the first time he's done in his career. And but he's in the Q School. He's in the quarterfinals, and the top four qualify back on the tour next year. So hopefully Fergal O'Brien, who plays out of Selbridge Super Club, he's from Dublin, of course, from the north side, from Bayside. So hopefully he can beat Rory McLeod today and get through, and he'll be back on the tour for another couple of seasons next year. So fingers crossed for that, you know. But the rest of the tour, the professional tour, it won't start until the end of June, the beginning of July. So a little bit of a break at the moment, Rich.
Plenty of time for you to get that handicap down. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, great chatting to you. We'll catch up. Enjoy a day or manner. I'm hoping to play it myself in a week's time. So you can let me know what it's like.
Ah, brilliant. I will do. Yeah. Looking forward to it, I must say. I'm really looking forward to it.
Give my regards.
I'll let you know how much money I took off Andrew. You know, if I get a pound out of him, I'll tell you what, I'll be doing well.
It's time to turn our attention to rugby now. I'm delighted to be joined on the line by former Ireland and Leinster player Victor Costlove. Morning, Victor. How are you?
Morning, Reggie. Great, thanks.
Good. Look, it's an exciting weekend. You know, and any time there's a Leinster-Munster clash, it's exciting. But I think most people probably have an eye on next weekend, and we'll get to that shortly. But tonight, Leo Cullen taking an opportunity to give some of the younger players a chance to show what they can do in front of a big home crowd. So what can we expect from this one? I think there's a bit of pressure, probably a lot more pressure on Munster than there is on Leinster in this one, given that they kind of need to win to guarantee themselves of a home quarter.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, Munster travelling up, probably not with the massive support they had a couple of weeks ago for the Toulouse game. So it could be a lonely place in the Aviva Stadium tonight for them, because, as you say, the pressure is on them. I mean, immense pressure, not only bragging rights, which these games are full of competitiveness between Leinster and Munster, but also for that home game. And indeed, they picked a team to win. So that actually adds to the pressure. A lot of experience, but also a blend of youth in that side. This weekend, I think from a Leinster point of view, having the pressure off, there is pressure within the internal camp for places, possibly for next weekend. But also this team, I hate calling a second team, but I guess the backup side or backup squad, the team that he's picked from the backup squad, these guys played well down in South Africa, you know, and they competed well. So they'll want to maintain that form. And that'll be a danger in itself, Reg, with these players. So, I mean, if you look at the Leinster team, although it's a relatively, you know, what you call, I hate using the word second string, they do have a lot of experience there. They've got Larmer there, they've got Frawley, Harry Byrne, who is kind of the lost. The great hope, a couple, you know, about a year or two ago, needs more game time, is getting game time today. You've got Sean Cronin's swan song, you know, a fantastic stalwart from Leinster, retiring at the end of the year. And then, of course, Scott Penny, an open side that, you know, back into the frame, like with Max Deegan is saying. So there's more of internal pressure from a Leinster point of view. I guess the pressure, that's the situation. You play like, well, let's just do our own thing and see what happens, and not buy into the Munster hype. So I guess, again, the pressure's on Munster to perform here, but they're the favourites. So it might not be that easy for them with a team that Leinster's confident winning and has that winning formula in the last couple of months.
What would it say if Leinster were able to get a result against this Munster side tonight? I mean, as you said, these are the young guns. And I suppose it's a nice position to be in for them going out. They'll have been told, I'm sure, just go out and express yourselves. Don't allow the occasion get to you too much. You know, just play the rugby, play the systems that you've been doing all along. But they probably know in the back of their mind that if they were to lose, well, you know, it wouldn't be a disaster and it's not the end of the world. But from a Munster point of view, the opposite is the case. If they don't go out and put this, you know, young side to bed, all sorts of questions would be risen again about Munster.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about it last week with the exit to Toulouse. I mean, the Van Graan coaching team is a dead duck. If they survive today and win, and which they should do with that team, you know, they could do well in the rest of the competition, and that will save their season somewhat. But realistically, the Van Graan coaching ticket has come to an end, and it's very hard to play for a coach who you know who's leaving, particularly, you know, in a few weeks' time. So, I mean, if Munster were to lose, obviously it would be not a horrendous situation for them, but in a lot of ways they're better off wiping the slate clean and starting again. I mean, a lot of talk about Peter Armani not starting, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but that's no loss, because in some way Munster need to drive on. I mean, some of their back row, O'Donoghue, Candelan, have been phenomenal in the last couple of games, but they're not getting the recognition, nor the trophies, nor the success. Whereas you kind of think maybe starting again next season, they'll hit a rich vein of form again. I mean, their performance against Toulouse was quite good, but they just didn't have that killer instinct that Munster need and have had in old. So they need to gain that back. And, you know, we've spoken about what we potentially would need in the coaching area for Munster and what would work for them, but we're still not there yet. So, you know, while it would be a disaster to lose this game, you know, they need to start again and rebuild next season. I mean, you know, it's dragging on the Van Graan years, you know, and, you know, not being harsh on anyone, it's time now to move on and start again for Munster. If they can grab something in this season, absolutely. But losing this game would just be another nail in the coffin, you know. But I can't see that happening. I think there's enough experience there. It will be a tough game for them, as I said. They're not going to have the hype they had 2 weeks ago or the 16th man. But, you know, Munster need to go on the road and win matches. And, you know, they've done it for decades. They just need to do it again.
Yeah. Be interesting to see, all right, what way it unfolds. And plenty of opportunity for those young Leinster players. And shout out as well to Ben Murphy, the son of Richie Murphy, the former Ireland skills coach, who's also the coach of the under-20s on the bench today. So he gets a chance to make his debut. So let's hope that goes well for him. But it's great for those younger players getting an opportunity to show what they can do in such a big game. It just never would have happened in our day, because it was just always that clash it was always full strength, but it just goes to show you how squads have progressed and how they've moved on and how the times have changed, that there's such good quality there in the backup players, we'll call them, that can provide such a good squad of players to go out and take on Munster in such a big game. But that leads me on to just, I want to talk about next week, because it's just, I can't wait. It's just, the anticipation is too much. La Rochelle in that Heineken Cup final against Rodgers' team, as we'll call it. You know, they were brilliant against Toulouse, there's no question about it. They put them away and they just looked phenomenal. And that's not an easy thing to do against a side of the quality of Toulouse, albeit that they were a little bit worn from the game the week before. But it's not going to be as easy, is the only way to describe it, against La Rochelle. It's got a very, very physical team. What do Leinster need to do to beat that La Rochelle team, do you think?
I think they got to focus on, they got to draw from all their top performances and collectively this year and pull out a massive performance on the day. There's a hell of a lot of distractions in this game next week. And that, you know, they're the negatives. You know, if you think about, there's a lot of people, a lot of fans out there heading down here to see a Leinster victory, expecting to come back home with a cup, which is the meat and veg for Ronan O'Gara. You know, I mean, that's what he's built his success on over the years, is being that underdog. You know, back in the early Munster days of, you know, I guess the D4 versus the country and so on. And I think the expectation is so high in Leinster, the province, that's a danger. Now, of course, that shouldn't filter into the dressing room, but it does. I mean, let's not kid ourselves, you know. So there's a lot of pressure on Leinster to play down there. It's going to be hot. There's going to be Leinster for a long time, you know. Very intelligent coach in Ronan O'Gara, who has watched Leinster for a long time, you know. So that's the negative. However, you got to put faith in this group of players who are winners, and they performed. I think the Toulouse game, they were outstanding, but they were home. They were playing against a team that had a hard match 4 or 6 days beforehand. Leinster, conversely, had paid Leicester for the game was over in 20 minutes. So they weren't really, you know, Leinster were fresh. Now, Leinster would be fresh again going into this game next week, and La Rochelle will be battle hardy. So the question is here, which works for which team? Are you better off having a big game before the final, or are you better off in the position that Leo Cullen is now, where he can rest players and focus on the La Rochelle game for 2 weeks? Is that too much of a focus? You know, is it better having the distraction of a big game that the way La Rochelle have? So there's so much to look at this game, so far out of this game, which is phenomenal, you know, and then have a tasty game in between, which is tonight. But, you know, on paper, you'd have to say, if Leinster play anywhere near the way they did against Toulouse, they're going to win this match. But it's Rog, the Rog factor. You look at the likes of Keane Healy on the bench today as a tight head backup. Is there a problem with Tadhg Furlong? And then you look at Will Skelton. Is he going to say in order to play next week? So there's a couple of cards being held close to the chest. I think there's a lot of nervousness, a lot of respect both sides from the coaching sides. There's probably less experience with Dunnock Ryan in La Rochelle than Lancaster in the backup team in Leinster. So there's so much to look at in this 80 minutes. But as I said, expectation, favourites tagged, south of France, deep south of France, hot, hostile, you know, I'm worried about it. I mean, you'd be worried about a final anyway, but there's a lot of things that can go wrong here. I mean, I don't think last year's games really plays into it. They're all two different teams, but on paper, Leinster should win this, but it's a cup final, Reg. You know, it's a really worrying but anticipated a match. Yeah. It's great. It's going to be such a great game, you know. And again, we're talking about weeks away, you know.
I know. Yeah, no, it's great. It's like, but the fact that it's in, you know, Marseille will be a bit of an advantage as well. There was a lot of talk and words made around the fact that the Leinster rooks, an amazing stat, were an average 2.8 seconds for each rook. Now, I mean, there was an element of Toulouse not competing at the breakdown, but that speed of rook is just phenomenal. And you have to think that Rog won't be that naive and he'll have these players targeting that rook area to slow everything down as the first protocol to try and stop Leinster.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to target that area to slow the ball down. I'd say he's going to try and get in contact with Wayne Barnes, the referee, beforehand to highlight areas, and Leinster might be a little bit, you know, potentially deficient, you know, maybe a scrum technique again, like we spoke last week, know more about that than I would. So, you know, it's like everything else. If you focus on one area, Leinster have so many launch plays and attacking ability that if you slow them down and ruck, they'll end up reforming and kicking for position, or, you know, they're a threat everywhere. Mm. So look, I mean, Rog is, you can hear in Vox Pops from Rog this week, he's a lot more subdued than he is on any other media, in any other weeks on the media, which means he's worried, which means he's a huge amount of respect for Leo, the Leinster team, and so on. And of course, his rivalry and his friendship with Johnny Sexton. So if I were Rog, I target slowing down the rooks, I target the scrums, I target Sexton. And that sounds wrong, but the French clubs will do it. You know, Sexton was outstanding the last game. You got to ask yourself, at his age, how often can he be outstanding? I mean, he's not a robot, but he is certainly pushing the envelope in performances versus age, you know, and his competitiveness. You know, he will be very mindful of what Rog can do to outthink, and that adds pressure on Sexton as well. So, you know, I mean, there's no doubt about it that there'll be a lot of focus on trying to stop Leinster, and, you know, there will be a purple patch for La Rochelle, but I just don't think they have the staying power. You know, I've no doubt there'll be some worrying moments and you'll kind of say, well, that was good, that was well done, or well covered from La Rochelle, but I just think that Leinster have the fitness, the skills, the winning mentality, and, you know, a long season of performances to get across the line. But like everything else, a final, so hard to call, you know, really so hard to call.
And now it's time for golf, and I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Deirdre Smith. Good morning, Deirdre. How are you?
Morning, Reggie. All good. How are you?
Oh, brilliant. I'm just jealous here. You probably heard Ken there bragging about playing at Derry Manor today. So I'm just thinking in my head, I'm getting it all wrong here. But someday I'll get down there and get to play it. But plenty going on in the PGA at the moment. But I suppose before we get there, we'll just have a little chat about last week in Portic Harrington and getting into that seniors tour and a runner-up finish.
Yeah, wonderful, really. And to be honest, I expected a bit more of him this week based on that. But, I mean, he was always playing for second place because Stricker was so far ahead. He was six behind going into the final round, and it stayed that way. But he had three birdies in the last four holes, which got him into second place. And I know he was probably trying to build on that because he's won the PGA. But unfortunately, that hasn't materialised. But it's great for him. Great to see him featuring in the seniors. And it's only a matter of time now before he wins one of those senior majors and could go on to, I mean, it's a very competitive tour. He's not just going to walk on there and win first off the bat, but he certainly will contend, and I've no doubt that he'll add a couple of senior majors to his three main tour majors as the years progress. So, and again, he's so competitive and he's so hungry still. So I was a little bit disappointed to see him shoot seven over in the first round and five over yesterday to miss the cut. So I'm sure he's really disappointed. It's the end of a 4-week run for Harrington in America. So I'm sure he'll be delighted to get home to his dog.
Yeah, Wilson, isn't it? That's the dog. Yeah,
Wilson. That's it. Yeah,
he's almost as famous as Porrick at this stage. From all that's the right, Instagram stuff he does with him. Lovely looking dog. Mm-hmm. In fairness, too.
Beautiful.
It's going okay though. Well, it was going okay for Rory. Slipped back a little bit yesterday, but still well in the running. Seamus Power, I think he finished up even, didn't do too badly, and Lowry's a little bit behind him again. Maybe not quite as good for Shane Lowry. But Rory, your thoughts? Day one looked great with that 65. He could only manage a 71 yesterday, so struggling a little bit maybe yesterday.
Yeah, look, the first round was his all-round game was excellent. I mean, he drove the ball fantastic. He took on every shot that he committed to every shot. He was so aggressive. Marvellous to see him finally break that run of poor opening rounds in majors. He's had amazingly poor rounds in opening rounds in majors, and to see him then go out and do that was fantastic. And it was his best opening round since 2011, which is a long time ago. And he just kept it simple. He looked as if he was really comfortable day one. Everything was very clear. He knew exactly what he was doing. Yesterday, to me, he looked a little bit tentative. He didn't go after his shots. I felt the way he should have. And as a result, then just, he missed by fine margins too, though. He missed a couple of drives just in the rough, and it left him that he didn't have the same control going into greens, left him with longer putts. He didn't give himself as many chances yesterday. And while it looked like he didn't putt great yesterday, to be honest, I think it was his driving that he struggled with yesterday, which is not Rory. But I felt he just wasn't as committed yesterday to his drives. He looked a bit tentative. And I'm not sure it was nerves. Perhaps it was just that he just, I can't say what it was. He didn't think himself it was nerves, but it just looked as if he wasn't just as committed for some reason. But as you say, he's right in the hunt. He's only four behind. Zalatoris just was on fire yesterday. Mm. Hard to see him doing that again today. The same with Bubba Watson. Rory got the best end of the draw. It's a pity he just didn't even shoot one under, which would have left him in a better position. But he just couldn't get a birdie. He only had one birdie yesterday and two bogeys. So he's still there. It's just hopefully the demons won't come back in today in his mind, and he'll have the same clarity today in the third round as he had in the first round. That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Anything to the yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think he has the bit of form going now. So it was, I don't know, he got the better end of the draw from the weather, they're saying, as well yesterday. So he just didn't capitalize on that. So hopefully he'll get back into the zone. Because when he was interviewed, he did seem very confident and happy with his game and happy about where it was at that point. So I think he'll see it as a missed opportunity yesterday.
Yeah, it was a bit of a missed opportunity. I mean, Tiger looks like he's really struggling. What a grinder! I mean, you just have to have tremendous admiration for him. He looked on every shot as if he was, pulling out of it. His right leg, he couldn't get through. the swing with his right side, to really get in after it. And he just got it around and grounded out and made the cut. And I just have tremendous admiration for him.
I do.
But I wouldn't have always been his biggest fan, but
it's hard to watch as well, though, isn't it? I mean, it's just hard to watch a player suffer in that way and still going. And after all the years that we've watched Tiger and on the golf course and how glorious it is, it's tough to kind of watch him in that much pain and struggling.
Yeah, it is. I agree. It is tough to watch him like that. And I mean, I wasn't always his greatest fan, and I'll admit that. But to be honest, my admiration for him has really grown through all of this. And, there's many the person would just throw in the towel and say, to hell with it, I don't want to shoot one over and one under after all I've been able to do. But, I probably, in his own mind, these are probably some of his greatest victories, to actually compete and to grind out there on the PGA Tour on a massively long golf course. But all these young guys who are, just so fit and such, he has made them this. I mean, he has been the forerunner in all of this. And he's made them all very rich, and he's made them all wonderful athletes. But to see him out there, I just think he's a tremendous example for determination and resilience and, just pure heart. And I just think it's superb, and it's great to see him in the field. He's such a draw. Everybody wants to see him, So the PGA are delighted he's there this week, even if he is on one leg.
Mm. Absolutely, they are. Seamus Power, I want to mention him as well. Going okay, sitting there kind of in 23rd position, but, steady as he always is.
Yeah, marvellous. Look, we've you and I have talked about him over the last 12 months, 18 months, what a marvellous player he is. And he's in two majors, he's made two cuts. Two from two is fantastic. He's really only learning his trade at major championships. But he feels he belongs there, and a decent round today, he's right in the mix. There's none of them out of it. You know, I know Zalatoris has gone to 8 under. It is quite a jump. But, you know, if Power and Lowry could shoot something in the 60s today, I mean, Power, if Lowry could shoot 65 and Power could shoot 67, it's unlikely that Zalatoris will go away again today from the field. You know, he'd probably consolidate his position. And, you know, there'll be a few other people breathing down his neck. So, but he's just driving the ball so well, Zalatoris. I mean, he's marvellous, really. And wholesome putts yesterday. My goodness, he had no bogeys. And just has worked really hard. He again looked out on the draw. He got the good side of the draw. He was tied second in the Masters in 2021. You know, he's one of these young guys who doesn't care about pressure, doesn't really feel he has to serve his time. And there's a lot of people at the top of that leaderboard, so it's hard to pick a winner. We certainly hope it's an Irish one.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, well, Deirdre, pleasure talking to you. Have you much on yourself? Is there championships on?
The less said about that, the better at the moment. But I know I played a couple of things there and didn't play too well. I played the Irish Stroke play last week in my home club in County Louth, but. Just game needs a little bit of work. Get off work now next week and hopefully get a bit of hard work done in.
Absolutely.
And do myself justice in a few championships coming up. So
good stuff.
Look forward to that.
Watching that carefully as well, dear. We'll be watching that closely too.
Thanks, Reggie.
It's Declan Drake and Sean Lane here on GAA for the next 15-20 minutes or so, and we're going to get straight into it because there's quite a lot happening as the year advances in terms of championships and that. And the first thing we're going to do is give a nod to our county minor footballers who were crowned Leinster champions midweek, 2-10 to 8 point success over Kildare at O'Moore Park. So well done to them on that particular victory, and the very best of luck to them as well in the forthcoming All-Ireland series. Always important, I think, to get young lads winning championship medals early. Doesn't always guarantee a success later on, but certainly they're going in the right direction there, so well done to them. Now, the senior footballers, well, they're back in the Leinster football final once again. In their second championship game of 2022, they overcame the challenge of Meath last Sunday at headquarters, 127 to 114. Ballymun Kickham's man Dean Rock with the Dublin goal from a penalty. Well, one man who watched the game last week was Ronan McLaughlin of the Herald, who will be joining us fairly shortly, I think, on the line to discuss that. Event Dublin in the final next week, of course, against Kildare at Croke Park. But it's an opportune moment, I think, while I have it, the opportunity to mention the support for Drummo campaign. Sean Drummond from Coola was a Coola player, underage player in Dublin, suffered a tragic accident in London in 2019. And a major campaign to help his rehabilitation is underway. And as a fantastic gesture, AIG, the Dublin County sponsors across all four codes, are giving up their sponsorship of their Dublin shirts next weekend. So the Camogie team against Tipperary and the men's footballers against Kildare and the ladies footballers against Meath will all wear special support for, as in the number four, Drummo across their chests next Sunday afternoon. So the best of luck and to Sean and his family there in their attempt to raise the necessary funds to make his life a little bit easier. And you'd have to say too, well done to AIG for the initiative in giving up their shirt sponsorship for that particular event. Now we are joined on the line, I'm delighted to say, by Ronan McLaughlin of the Herald. Good morning, Ronan. Welcome back to Dublin's Talking Sport. No, he's not there. It's going to be one of those days, I think, as the rain starts to come down outside the studio. Sean Lane is with us in studio. Sean has been known to talk the odd bit of football in his time as well. Impressive enough victory there for the Blues last Sunday afternoon, Sean, advancing to another provincial final.
Yeah, absolutely, Declan. And you know, everything that Desi Farrell said that was wrong, missing players and etc., they're all right and all the players are back now. So the performances are where they are. A comprehensive win, Declan, 127, 114. You know, I take that. And Kildare in the Leinster final, you know, there may be a couple of teams left in this, Kerry, Dublin, there may be a few more, but Dublin are right up there in the top three or four now.
Yeah, Kildare perhaps over a number of years would be the best equipped team, you would think, to challenge Dublin and eventually possibly wrestle the Leinster title back from them.
They probably would, and they've had good underage football, Kildare have it, particularly at 21, so you'd be expecting a good belter there in that.
But yeah, overall, quite impressive. You can only beat, really, Sean, you know, what's put in front of you, ultimately.
Yeah, that's true. But equally, when you win, Declan, scoring 127, it's a great way to you know, great score to put up. And there was contributions from everywhere. The first day, I think Con got 1-6 against Wexford, but he only got 2 points the last day. So other people are coming in and scoring. And there seems to be a bit of a fight now for the jersey back again, where during the league, sure, you knew 10 or 11 who was going to play because they were available. But there seems to be a little bit of pressure now to get out there, perform and keep your jersey, which is the way it should be in Dublin.
And of course, playing a team that they lost to in the league down in Newbridge early on in the campaign as well, won't have any real relevance on it, will it, next week?
No, I mean, Kildare had home advantage. Kildare, I thought, got a fortuitous goal. It was blocked originally and ended up in the Dublin net. But remember, Dublin were short a hell of a lot, and Dublin are in far better shape now and seem to be getting back to, you know, where they can perform, like, you know.
Yeah, well, the Leinster final is in Croke Park next Saturday evening at 5 o'clock. What a day of sport it is next Sunday. We don't want to give too much credence to other sports in this particular section of the programme, but Champions League football, Heineken Cup rugby, and the Dubs on the double in Croke Park next week, because of course the ladies will be playing Meath in their TG Carr Leinster final as well. Okay, we've given up on Ronan, sorry about that. We will move on though to hurling. And disappointment for Dublin Hurlers last week in the Leinster Championship, their third game of the round robin series, well beaten by Kilkenny, 325 to 17 points at Parnell Park. Sean, we were optimistic, quietly optimistic in a lot of respects, leaving here last Saturday to make our way to Parnell Park, but that confidence was quite quickly eroded. I thought myself perhaps the goal that Kilkenny got just before half time was a key part of the game, but you're more concerned about the second goal that we conceded.
I would be. I mean, look, we started well. 15, 16 minutes into the game, we were 5-3 up. We were playing well. We got Dara Gray got a score from the left wing, and the whole of Parnell Park raised their fists and everybody was going well. The first goal definitely was a little bit of a belt in the sense that, you know, it was just before half-time. But the second goal, Declan, was a ball that went into a corner, and there was, you know, TJ Reid went after it very slowly. Three Dublin lads looked at one another. I mean, someone should have covered him and made sure he couldn't turn and had to put the ball back 60 yards down the line. But TJ turned, picked up, couldn't believe his luck, sauntered in through, hand passed it to, I think, was Martin Keown, and I felt the game was over after. I think I put it 2-14 to 14. And after that, Kilkenny, every time Kilkenny attacked, they scored. And every time Dublin attacked, they were looking for a goal and they were turned over and it just turned into a farce. It was really, really disappointing. It was gut-wrenching, you know. And the crowds we've had supporting the hurlers this year has been fantastic. I just think and hope that, look, we'll get a good support down in Galway.
We have 6 points from our three games. We're in Salt Hill this evening to take on Henry Shefflin's Galway from 6 o'clock. All the games throwing in at the same time this evening. Our positive score difference has been wiped out thanks to that defeat last week against Kilkenny. But the permutations in the group, 4-3, as we know, doesn't go. Galway most likely in the Leinster final. But what are the rest of the permutations regarding Leinster, Sean?
Yeah, I suppose, well, there's six teams in it, as we know, and Westmead, you have to give them a thumbs up for their performance against Wexford last week, but obviously they won't feature when it comes to the playoffs. The four teams, obviously, Galway, Kilkenny, Dublin and Wexford. Dublin have the 6 points, Declan, which may be enough. I mean, to knock Dublin out, you know, Wexford have to go to Nolan Park and have to beat Kilkenny, which isn't going to be easy. Brian Cody, you know, after the infamous shake hands with Henry Shefflin, is going to want to shake hands with him again after a Leinster final with a different result. So Kilkenny are going to be really trying to get back in that. So I don't see Wexford qualifying, which probably allows Dublin a luxury of not getting a result in Galway and still qualifying in third place. But Dublin have a very good record, Declan, against Galway over the last couple of years and have beaten them. You know, last year in the Championship, they beat them in Parnell Park in 2019. You know, Galway have some smashing players. We know Conor Cooney, Conor Whelan, Joseph Cooney, and this Brian Kincannon up front is playing well for Galway. And look, at the back, just named three: Patrick Manning, Garrod Hegarty, Dahi Bourke. Like, they're still a formidable team, and they'll be awful hard to beat in Salt Hill.
It'll certainly be a different Galway team this evening than it was when we played them in the Walsh Cup in January, because that was one of our more outstanding days in 2022 from a Dublin perspective so far. But finally, on this one, I mean, okay, they mightn't necessarily need to get the result to go through, but it'd be important from a confidence point of view to put in a strong, cohesive performance down there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Declan, we scored 17 points the last day against Kilkenny, which, as you know, would get you, in this day and age with the yellow slitter, will get you nowhere to win games at this level. Dublin need to come out. They need to get the inside forward line going. They've Trollier in now, in one change in there. And he did look a little bit more busier than the inside forwards, but, you know, we need a little bit more return from the inside forwards. And if we don't get it, we'll be beaten fairly well today. But if we do, Declan, you know, we can give a performance.
Yeah, that's a point you made last week about goals, and we didn't get any against Kilkenny either last week. Yeah, in terms of the team, two changes to the side that started last week. John Bellew, Lucas Sars is in at right corner back, Eamon Dinn and Trollier, as we know him, left corner forward from Naifion Barrett Club. Dunica Ryan and Aidan Mellett of Ballyboden St Enda's are the men to make way. We wish Matty and the boys every success over there in Galway this evening. If they do finish third, which is the likely scenario, at the end of this evening's play, they will play the McDonagh Cup winners in an All-Ireland qualifier quarterfinal, I think they call it, is it?
So,
that'll be an
interesting... It's a hurdle, Declan, that we fell at before. We lost to Leash before we played Tip.
Okay, speaking of Tip, good timing. The big one, well, one of the big ones this weekend, is the meeting of Tipperary and Cork tomorrow afternoon in the Munster Senior Hurling Championship at Semple Stadium from 4 o'clock. Going into Cork's clash with Waterford last week, it looked as if perhaps tomorrow's game was going to be just a dead rubber with nothing but pride at stake. Well, Cork, as Cork are capable of doing, went down, put the cat amongst the pigeons and came away from Walsh Park with a victory. One man who was absolutely delighted to see that, no doubt, was Seanny McCarthy of Ballinhasic, two-time All-Ireland medalist with Cork, who joins us on the line from the Rebel County this morning. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Declan. How are you?
Good, sir. Welcome back to the programme. Good to talk to you again. It's a fair enough...
Thank you very much.
It's a fair enough assumption to make, isn't it, that not a lot of confidence outside of Cork, perhaps, would be there going up to Walsh Park last week. But Cork being Cork, you do what you do, and you got the result when you're back to the wall.
Yeah, I suppose our backs were to the wall, and the big question was whether we were going to stick to the tactical game we're trying to play, with the short game running off the shoulder and trying to hit the perfect pass every time. But it's slowing down our play and it's giving the opposition a chance to settle in the back line. We already had got a dressing down from Waterford in the league final. Like, we got a fair beating. They were well over us compared to what the score said. So going down into their back garden and playing them down there was a big challenge, a big test of the character of this Cork team. And I think it put a lot of pressure on Waterford as well, being playing at home in a tight pitch. And I think we delivered and they didn't.
Yeah, I've heard some suggestions during the week, Seanny, that the tight pitch at Walsh Park simply doesn't suit Waterford and their style of hurling.
I suppose just analysing it around, Declan, I think Dublin is suffering the similar thing in Parnell Park, but I agree. But I think it was pressure of playing Cork again after having beaten them early in the year, the tight pitch below in Welsh Park, and the expectation from the crowd. Like, Waterford had a fantastic league campaign. They were the form team. Again, Derek McGrath, I saw saying there a couple of weeks ago that the team that beat Waterford would win the All-Ireland. It was a strong statement to make this time of the year. And I think there was added pressure coming from all sides. The question is, with the tight field, or is it that they've come to the boil too early and they're a little bit stale at the moment? But I suppose we'll see the outcomes on Sunday and how it pans out. But questions have to be asked about Waterford at the moment and where they really are.
You know the dimensions of Tom Semple's field better than most, Seanny, because you ran around it long enough over the years. It's going to be some battle with Tipperary down there tomorrow. At least, you know, we have this competitive element to the game now, which before last Sunday's games we didn't have.
It's going, like, I'm really, really looking forward to it. I'm very nervous about it. I suppose a couple of questions need to be asked and answered on Sunday. One is, can Cork put a second game of the calibre they played against Waterford back-to-back and play with Tipperary at their own game up in Turles? I suppose the one thing that people have to remind themselves is that Colin Bonner is a new manager. He lost a lot of good Tipperary stalwart players to retirement. And then he took over a team. He's rebuilding a team. He had a very good outing against Waterford. They were exceptional against Limerick for 60 minutes the last day. And they have McCormack and they have Jason Ford back against Cork tomorrow. So I really, really, I think it's going to be a cracker. I think Cork will have to play a similar game, tighten the backs, deliver a fast ball to their forwards, and their forwards become defenders when they don't have the ball, really, because Simple Stadium is, it's the home of hurling. It's where every team loves playing, especially the Munster teams. And I think it's going to be an absolute cracker, hopefully, tomorrow.
Yes, Ardán Éireann will welcome me tomorrow afternoon. Really looking forward to it. It'll be preceded, of course, by the under 20 All-Ireland hurling final between Limerick and Kilkenny. Our regular hurling analyst here, Sean Lane, is in studio with us. A few weeks back, Sean, Waterford were your tip for the All-Ireland series, and this was rightly so based on the form that they'd shown in the league. A lot has changed since.
Yeah, and I think Sean, he's after putting his finger on it there. Did Waterford come to the boil too early? You know, I mean, they won the league and won it very, very well. Their first day out, Tipperary threw the kitchen sink at them. They went behind, but they still had enough to come back and win it. Their performance against Cork was I thought, was very poor the last day. Now, that's not taken away from Cork. I think Cork are... they're in a great position to go into, as you call it, Tom Semple Stadium this evening. But I think Cork will be up for a little bit of a fright this evening. I'm not saying that Tip will win it, but Tip will not want to play four Munster teams in the Championship and lose all four games. Tip did perform extremely well against Limerick the last day, and I expect him to do the same against Cork.
Shawnee, when you played yourself... In the late 80s, early 90s, it was straightforward knockout Championship hurling, and that's in effect what we have tomorrow afternoon in Semple Stadium. Can I just ask you, generally, which system you prefer the most? Do you fancy the round robin? Do you like the round robin system, or would you prefer it went back to straightforward knockout, which would have had 50,000 plus in Thurles for a game like that tomorrow?
I think I suppose. Analysing it and seeing this new system in place now for a couple of years, I didn't like it at the start, but it's beginning to grow on me. I think it gives teams opportunities to develop players, develop systems, and if the system works out like it is tomorrow, it can lead to a very, very good ending to it. Like, as you say, Cork going to Tipperary needing a win, Dublin going over to Galway needing a win, to reach the Leinster final. There's some great, great games coming up about it. So I suppose, answer your question in a nutshell, I'm actually beginning to take on board and enjoy the new system.
Okay, well, no doubt you'll enjoy your trip to Thurles with the boys tomorrow afternoon. Shawnee, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme. Might even see you up there tomorrow afternoon.
Absolutely, Declan. We're badly due an old meet-up.
We are indeed, Sean. Go to Míle Maith Agat. That's Shawnee McCarthy of Ballinhassig and Cork, two-time All-Ireland medalist there, giving us his thoughts. So, Sean Lane, before we wrap up on our GAA section this week, what way is it going to pan out? Who will be in the Leinster final? Who will finish third? We know the Munster finalists are Limerick and Clare. Who's going to get the third spot?
We'll go take Leinster first. I do believe it'll be Galway Kilkenny in the Leinster final. I think Dublin will come out even if they don't get a result. I can't see Wexford beaten. That's one. On the other side, I think you can knock Tipperary out. I think if they win by 7 or 8 points, so I don't think that'll happen. I think that'll be a very close game. I do give Waterford a chance. I think Waterford have a great chance. I think they will go to Clare. Clare are going to be in the Munster final. They're going to have one eye on that. They haven't won a Munster final, Clare, for I think 1998, which is a long time back. The year they won it in 2013, they didn't win Munster by my own reckoning. So I give Waterford still a chance to qualify.
Okay, Waterford to qualify. Sticking with your guns, you did pick them to win the All-Ireland. We will, of course, remind you of that as the year goes on. Sean Lane, thank you very much indeed for joining us in the studio. Thanks indeed to Shawnee McCarthy as well for joining us from Cork.
Declan staying in studio with me now as we join Alan Cawley on the line. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm good, Reggie. How are you?
Great. Not a bother. Looking forward to another great weekend of sport. And there's plenty happening in the League of Ireland last night as well. Some interesting results. I know Declan was at the Pats Shelburne game last night, but big win for Shelburne, it has to be said, in St. Pat's. Pats won't be happy with that one.
Yeah, it was a massive result, Reggie, especially, I suppose, when you look at their form before Damien Duff got suspended. They were obviously struggling and a bit up and down, inconsistent, and people were, I suppose, just wondering when is it all going to kick in for Shelburne. But the last three games, I don't know if it's had anything to do with the fact that Damien has been suspended. I doubt it, but some people are suggesting that. But he's obviously in the background there. And to get three wins on the bounce now and push them right up the table, great result, especially going away to Pats and winning away from home. That was a massive result for them.
I was sitting in the, just beside the director's box, Alan, in Richmond Park last night where Damien was, and I've never ever seen Damien Duff as animated as he was and as involved in the game as he was. But they were fully deserving of the 3 points last night, and Pat's home form is shocking. It's a real Achilles heel for them, and Shells will be confident of maintaining their run, of course, when they play UCD at home on Monday evening.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, Declan, the one thing we always said about Shelburne, because there was such a turnover of players at the start of the season, they were always going to take time to obviously bed in and get Damien's points across in terms of his philosophy, Joey O'Brien. There was always going to be a settling in period, and I always felt they were going to get better as the season had went on, and I think that's what we're seeing at the moment. They were very much a work in progress. They still are, but the fact that obviously week on week you can see the improvements in them. I watched them against Sligo there a couple of weeks back, and they were probably the best performance of the season. I thought they were really good, and to follow that up now, obviously beating Drogheda and beating Pats as well, so they're on a really good run of form. He's so animated, Damien. Yeah, he's so passionate and loves it, even if he's not in the dugout. I heard he was in the stand giving it socks, alright, so just goes to show how much he cares, Declan. And as we kind of said at the start of the year, to have somebody of his stature involved in the league can only be a good thing.
Interesting result as well in Derry. You know, everything that we said at the start of the season just seems to be falling apart from a Derry point of view. I know there was always a bit of a rebuild job going on, but they have got some decent finances behind them. They've got some good players, management's strong in place. Dundalk struggling at the beginning of the season, and a 2-1 win for Dundalk in Derry, that's a big result, but certainly not what Derry would be expecting.
No, I suppose based on previous form and over the course of the season where they are in the table, yeah, people would have thought it was maybe down as a home win. But Dundalk have been very good, Reggie, and Stevie O'Donnell, who myself included, said at the start I thought he was mad leaving Pats, because I just felt, not so much going back to Dundalk, obviously he loves Dundalk, but just in terms of, I thought there was a massive rebuild to be done at Dundalk, and he was obviously very much well down the tracks on the rebuild at St. Pat's and having won the cup. I just felt it was maybe a step back, but he's done a brilliant job, Stevie, and he hasn't heard in the league, that breeding down the necks of Derry City now. So it's not all that surprising, because they have been going well. You're right about Derry, obviously their recent form. I think they've only picked up 9 points out of the last 24, and they've gone from 6 points ahead of Shamrock Rovers to now 7 points behind them. And I watched Shamrock Rovers on Thursday night out in UCD. Now, it wasn't much in terms of opposition because of what UCD offered, but I think not only was it a bad result for Derry last night, I think it was a bad result for the league as well, because what I saw Thursday night, and if Derry are not keeping pace with Shamrock Rovers, I can see them running away with this league title, and we'll have no title race whatsoever, Reggie.
I'm just wondering if you have a webcam on the studio here this morning, because that was the point I was going to make to you about how little Derry had picked up out of those 24 points. And you are right, it's 9 out of 24. On the other side of the equation, from a Shamrock Rovers point of view, Alan, 22 points out of the 24. So they know how to do that.
Yeah, and that's absolutely, Declan, you're right. And that's the transformation, really. Like, as I said, they went from 6 points ahead to now they're 7 points behind. So you can see the flip-flop nature of that run of form. So they'll be disappointed. I know Rory Higgins will obviously, he wants to keep tabs with Shamrock Rovers. They put in a great performance in Tala last week, but they ultimately came away with a defeat. And that was another one following up with a defeat at home last night. He'd be very disappointed. And for all of us, Declan, we want to see a title race. But as I said, I watched Shamrock Rovers on Thursday night, and it was a cakewalk against UCD. And I'm just worried for the rest of them now, because I was also on Dalymount watching Bowes and Sligo Rovers, and both, the first half was dreadful, to be honest with you. Bowes were very good in the second half. Sligo were terrible. And I'm just looking at the teams that are chasing down Shamrock Rovers, and if it's not Derry, I don't think anyone else can put it up to them. So it's certainly looking ominous for the other teams at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's going to be hard caught Rovers will be at this stage. If we look across the water at the other title race, it seems to everybody like a done deal, but there is only the 1 point between the two. I know City are at home and Villa wouldn't be the greatest challengers. I suppose there'll be lots of people hoping that Villa can cause some sort of an upset, but not really that likely.
Yeah, I don't know, Reggie. I just, you know, top level sport, especially on finals days and things like that, when it comes down to the business end, there's always drama somewhere, no matter what sport we're watching. Like, obviously, we love snooker, and we see that time and time again with the Crucible just finished. We're in the midst of a major with the golf. I'm sure there's going to be drama come tomorrow night as well in that. And certainly with the football is no different, the last day of the season. I don't think it'll be as easy for Man City as some are suggesting. If it was a case that Aston Villa had to beat them for Liverpool to win the league, I would have said maybe it's over. But the fact that they only need a draw and that will help Liverpool win the league, I think they're capable of getting a draw. You throw in the factor with Steven Gerrard, Coutinho, all these little factors as well make a bit of a difference in my view as well, psychologically. And even though Man City have been there and done it and obviously very experienced, we saw them crumble against Real Madrid when the heat was on as well in the last few minutes. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility. And to be honest with you, Reggie, the fact that we've stuck out the whole season, we've come down to the last day, it's still all up for grabs with the title, with fourth place, with relegation. I think we're due a bit of drama tomorrow.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. There's no doubt about it. And everything happening at the same time tomorrow makes it even more exciting. And as you said, there is other drama there as well. Arsenal at home to Everton. Everton pulling off a miracle result during the week there, coming back from 2-0 down. But you're looking at the Spurs being away to Norwich. So they're battling out for that fourth place. So there's drama around that. I feel Arsenal might get the job done, but I think it's going to be tougher than Spurs think going away to Norwich at last game of the season. But yeah, I don't know your thoughts.
That's your Arsenal hat, Reggie.
Yes, probably, yeah.
I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but the fact that it's out of their hands now, that's what's killed them. You know, they had it in their own hands and they've let that slip, obviously losing to Spurs and then the defeat to Newcastle. So I think they're struggling now. I hear there's a bit of an outbreak with Spurs. Maybe some of them might be sick. I don't know. So that might help you. But I can't see Norwich getting anything from that game at all. Yeah. I'm sure Spurs will get the job.
Last day. There'll be drama. I'm sticking to that. But the bottom of the table stuff is really interesting. Leeds away to Brentford, a really tough one for them. Burnley have Newcastle. You know, they're still... I don't know. I'd love to see Leeds staying up personally, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm the same, obviously, with my Leeds hat on as well. I'd love to see them. The fact that they've been out of the Premier League so long and then all the hype when they came back. And they're a Premier League club as well, Reggie. You know, you look at the fan base, it's phenomenal. They offer plenty to the Premier League. But unfortunately, they haven't delivered this year. And I attribute a lot of that blame to Bielsa. I think the kamikaze nature of some of his approaches to games has cost them, because you look at the goal difference at the moment, they're obviously level on points, but there's a 20-goal swing needed. They've conceded 78 goals. It's an absolute disgrace, really, Reggie, when you think about it. And as I say, the nature of his approach was going out against teams like Chelsea, Man City, Liverpool, taking them on toe for toe. And there was no chance, and losing 4-5 and 6-0 in some of the games, it was mad stuff. And it's come back to bite them, and I think that's where they're going to struggle, because it wouldn't surprise me to see both teams finish level on points, but the goal difference is going to kill them. So I'd be shocked if Leeds stay up, to be honest.
Yeah, it will be a big surprise. Just finally, during the week we had the Europa, not a great game, if I'm honest about it, to watch. You know, it was a bit boring at times, but Rangers unlucky in the end. Penalty.
Yeah, it was a poor game. Yeah, poor game overall, Reggie. But obviously, I stayed till the death and the penalties. And again, speaking of drama, of course, penalty shootout. But it didn't really offer up much drama in the penalty shootout either. I thought Frankfurt's penalties were outstanding. And unfortunately for Ramsey, he missed it. And they came a long way, Rangers. They were there on merit. The game wasn't great, as I say, the final. But it's unfortunate for them. But more so, Reggie, just in terms of the financial windfall that would have came with that, because there would have been top seeds in the group stages next year. I think they were due to kind of earn maybe 30-40 million from that, and that could have changed everything for them in terms of the league and Celtic and Scottish football. So I think that's probably more of a disappointment than not actually winning the cup.
Yeah, probably is. Yeah, I agree with you. Who have they got today? They've got a tough one again today as well.
Hearts in the Scottish Cup final. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, Hearts. Yes. It doesn't end for them. Who have you got on the podcast this week?
The Sligo Rovers chairman Tommy Higgins is coming on, and it's a good time for him to come on, really, because the form at the moment with Sligo Rovers is very, very poor, Reggie. So it'll be interesting to get his thoughts on all of that stuff.
Yeah, they really need to, like, they've done it every season. They started really well and then fall off towards the latter part. So it's about bolstering the squad mostly, I suppose, is it?
Yeah, and I don't think they did that well enough in the off season, to be honest with you. Yeah. And you look at, I was in Daly Mountain last night and watching them, and I've watched them last week against Pats, and They're very, very ordinary, to be honest with you, Reggie. And I just would have expected a bit more, especially after finishing third last year. Their recruitment has been poor. They just look a bit flat. Bows were good in the second half now, but yeah, there's problems for Sligo Rovers at the moment.
Thanks for listening to Dublin's Talking Sport on Sunshine 106.8 from myself, Ken, and Reggie. Have a good weekend.